well, not exactly where we left off. Numbers chapter number 12, we read of Miriam's rebellion, her living legacy or inheritance. We talked about Miriam's inheritance, how she affected others around her, how she infected those while she was alive, and what happened shortly after she died. And we see she lived up to her name of Revel. In chapter number 13 of Numbers, after Miriam's rebellion, we read of the 12 spies. And we talked a little bit about this last week, and I need to turn this on. Are we on now, Jeff? I can get that out of my way. The 12 spies were sent out in chapter number 13, and we're going to focus on one of those spies this evening in chapter number 13 and verse number 6. So the tribe of Judah, and of course there was a spy from each of the 12 tribes, and the tribe of Judah, that's an important, the name Judah means praise, and that is the tribe that Jesus would come from. The spy that was sent from the tribe of Judah was a man named Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. We're going to look at Caleb this evening. Father, we thank you for this time together. We pray that you would bless our time as we consider this great man, Caleb, in the Old Testament. Help us to learn some things that we can apply to our lives to make us more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Caleb's name, the name Caleb means a dog. That's flattering, isn't it? How would you like to be named Dog? Come here, doggy. There's got to be a story behind that name. I don't know what it is, but you think there must be some kind of story behind that name. We're going to make an application there. I just want to give that to you now. He was the... the next one, verse number 8, the two good spies, remember the 12 spies, and you know that story. We won't go into that story for right now. The other spy that was a good spy that came back with a good report in verse number 8 was a spy named what? Somebody said it without looking. What was his name? Joshua is what he's going to say. What's it say in verse number 8? What's his name? Oshea. Is his name in verse number 8. Oshea means deliverer. It's the same name that's used in the Bible. Hosea, the prophet Hosea, is actually the same name. There's a different spelling, the same name. And Hosea is another pronunciation or spelling of that same name. But the name literally means deliverer. Moses later gave Oshea a nickname. I guess you could call it a nickname, a second name, not really a nickname, not a shorter name. He added something to his name. In verse number 16, it says, these are the names of the spies, of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. You notice he put that J in the front of it. Oshea means deliverer. Jehoshea means God is our deliverer. God is our Savior. It's the same name in the New Testament as Jesus, the angels would name Jesus when before he was born. Now, we mentioned last week how the spirit of rebellion that we first saw in Miriam rubbed off on these spies. In chapter number 13, and down in, of course, the spies, we saw the land, we saw that it was great, but, careful, don't put the but in there. When the but comes in, that changes there. We saw the land was great, we know that God's given it to us, but we just don't believe God. And Caleb gave some words of encouragement. In verse number 30, Caleb stilled the people before Moses. There we see Caleb. We're going to focus on Caleb's night. He said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Hey, there's giants in the land. There's enemies there, but we can do it. God said we can do it, and I believe God. Do you believe God tonight? Do you believe God tonight? All right. Caleb said, I believe God. I believe that he is able to deliver us. And verse number 32 says that they brought an evil report. And Caleb's words of encouragement were overruled by the majority. 10 out of the 12 spies agreed, and they brought an evil report in verse number 32. And chapter number 14, in the first two verses, I think we read these last week. The people murmured at Moses and against God. And Joshua and Caleb tried again to change the mind of the people, to get them to believe and follow God and to quit their rebelling. And chapter number 14 and verse number, let's see, where is it at? Verse number 9. The words of Joshua and Caleb. He said, "Only rebel not ye against the Lord." Don't be like Miriam. Don't let her rebellion rub off on you. And then, of course, God steps in and Moses intervenes. God steps in and says, "I'm just going to wipe these people out. Let's wipe them out and start from scratch." And Moses prays for the people. But God says, "I am going to bring judgment." The judgment that he brought was 40 more years they would spend in the wilderness before they go to the promised land. Those that were how old would die in the wilderness? Either 20 years old or older, they're going to die in the wilderness. And the 10 spies that brought an evil report, the chapter ends by saying that they died with a plague. God judged them. Now, what I'm going to look at tonight when we look at Caleb, and the title of the message tonight is, "Don't let the spirit of our day define you." Don't let the spirit of our day define. Even though everybody else is doing it, that doesn't make it right. Even though everybody else thinks a certain way, doesn't mean you ought to think a certain way. Even though everybody else acts a certain way, doesn't mean you ought to act a certain way. And we're going to see some things about Caleb. I admire this man, Caleb. And the first thing that I see and I notice about Caleb here in Numbers chapter number 14, if you look at verse number 24, "My servant Caleb," God's speaking here, talking about the judgment. He says somebody's going to be exempt from that, and that is "my servant Caleb." And the reason was because he had another spirit with him and has followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Caleb had another spirit. And that's the thing I want to look at first of all when you consider Caleb. Don't let the spirit of our day define you. Caleb had another spirit. He had another, what's another word for spirit? When you see spirit in the Bible, sometimes it's talking about the Holy Spirit. It's usually capitalized when it's talking about the Holy Spirit. When it's used talking about our spirit, what's a word that we would use today instead of spirit? We don't necessarily talk about our spirit. Sometimes you hear that, but usually we say our what? Our attitude. Caleb had another attitude. His attitude was different than anyone else. And I want to see a couple of things under that. Caleb had another spirit. First of all, he remembered that he was just a dog. What's his name mean? Again, my curiosity is killing me. What's the story behind that? And a dog was not something that in Bible times they didn't keep dogs for pets. It wasn't something that generally was a positive thing. I remember my dog when I was a kid named Duke. Bless his little heart. He's in doggy heaven now. All good dogs go to heaven, don't they? Well, Duke wasn't even a good dog, but if he was a good dog, he probably would have lived a few more years. But people didn't love dogs. If you go to many countries in the world, Cape Verde's one of those places where dogs run around all the time. They're the garbage disposal is what they are. And that's what they were in Bible times. It's not something, it's not a compliment to call somebody a dog. But for some reason, Caleb had that name pegged on him, that he was imagine what kind of childhood he had growing up with a name like that. "Hey, dog, come on over here. There, dog." You imagine the teasing he must have got. But for some reason, that doesn't seem that it bothered him. But maybe it helped him. You know, sometimes we have a name, and I have a kind of a unique name. It's not as unique now as it was when I was a kid. And the worst part was, a year after I was born, Rocky and Bullwinkle came out. So that's all I ever heard when I was a kid. Anybody that hung was found around me, or it was called Bullwinkle. But it made people remembered me. Now, I wasn't the type of person that really wanted to be remembered. I was sharing with one of my nephews yesterday that I spent some time with yesterday that that his last name, he's my sister's son. His last name is Probasco, and he lives in the community that we grew up in. And I said, where'd you grow up at? Oh, I'm not too far from here. And how are you related to folks? He said, well, my mom was a Fritz. Everybody in the community knows. It's kind of like names around here in a small community. Everybody notices that name. And I didn't really care for that when I was a kid, that I had so many older brothers, and they were well known, and everybody knew who I was because I was a Fritz. And then to make matters worse, everybody remembered my first name. So everybody in town knew who I was. Didn't matter where I went or what I did, everybody knew who I was. I guess God was preparing me for living as a pastor in a small town where everybody knows who you are, even though I don't know who they are. But Caleb had another spirit, and maybe that name helped him to keep him humble. And maybe that name was a constant reminder to him. And boy, this would be good if we realized this. That would save us a lot of trouble. If we get in the habit of doing that exercise, look at ourselves in the mirror and say, I'm nobody. I'm just a dog. That's all I am. I don't deserve anything. And I don't know anything. You know, young people and old people today, the biggest problem our world has today is we think we deserve something. We think that we know everything. And we think that we are somebody. But I have a feeling Caleb didn't have that problem when he was growing up. And I think that name probably helped him to develop that right spirit. He had a different spirit about him. He didn't have to worry about being popular. He didn't care what others' opinion was. He just said, let's do right. God said we can have this land, and I believe God. He had another spirit. Maybe it was because of his name. He realized he was just a dog. And then, second, he had another spirit because he decided he was going to break the bondage of family tradition. He wasn't going to do what everybody else around him was doing. We talked about the inheritance of Miriam and how her actions influenced everybody around her, both during her life and then after her death. Shortly after her death, there was another rebellion of God's people that even caused Moses to sin, so he wouldn't go into the promised land. But Caleb decided, you know what? Everybody else is going to rebel, but I'm not going to do it. Maybe everybody in his family was doing a certain way. I don't have to go that way. I don't have to do what everybody else is doing. Hey, everybody else in my family's got an angry spirit, but I don't have to have an angry spirit. Everybody else in my family is a drunk, but I don't have to be a drunk. Amen? Everybody else in my family is messed up with the law, but I don't have to live that way. Everybody else in my family is living in the world, but I don't have to live that way. I'm going to break those family ties. I'm going to decide to be different. Caleb had another spirit. I don't have to do what everybody else is doing. I can walk away from what everybody in my family is doing. I can walk away what all my buddies are doing, what all my peers are doing. And God blessed him for that because he had another spirit. Don't let the spirit of our day define who you are. I believe without question, and I think any preacher would agree. Brother Alexander would probably agree. Any other preacher would. I'm not sure if he would, just because. No, I'm just kidding. But we are certainly living in the days of Laodicea, where people just don't seem to care about the things of God. And it's sad that it's that way. But you know, you don't have to be that way. You don't have to be attached to the internet 24 hours a day. You can get alone with God and pray. Even though that's not a popular thing to do today. You can shut that stupid thing off. In fact, you can live without it, believe it or not. When somebody, beep, 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 whatever. You know, I kind of got used to it, but one of my brothers helped me out years ago. When that phone rings, some people, I mean, they leap tall buildings to try to get there in a single bound to answer that phone just to find out it's a salesman at the other end. They'll break their leg trying to get to the phone. One of my brothers helped me out. You know what? That thing's ringing. It'll stop after a while. You just ignore it. You know what? Did you see this on Facebook? Did you see this on whatever, Instagram, whatever it is that you use? I know. Well, I don't use Facebook, but whatever the thing is that you use, that your life depends on that thing. You know what? You can just shut that thing off and still live a happy life without it. In fact, you'd probably live a much happier life without it. You don't have to be attached to it all the time. And because we've got, I like what one preacher used to say often. I haven't heard him say it for a while. But he used to always say, we've become so connected, we're disconnected. We're connected to everybody else, but we're completely disconnected with God. We've lost sight of what's important. We've got time for everything else. And it always amazes me that in my lifetime I've seen so many changes. We've got all these things to help us save time. But we've got less time to do things that are important than we ever have in history. You don't have to let that spirit define you. You don't have to get involved in the rat race. You don't have to make that define you. And I know folks are bitter and angry and harsh and rude and crude today, but you don't have to be that way. You can still smile. You know what my favorite thing to do is? I was in, well, I call it Chicago. Anything on that side of DeKalb is Chicago as far as I'm concerned. I was there most of the week, and I had this little thing that I do growing up in a small town or living in a small town. You ever notice when you're walking down the street? I remember sometimes when I was with the kids, when we lived a block away, we'd walk down here and the kids would be with me, and every car that goes by, I'd be doing this. And the kids say, do you know them? No. Do you know them? No. You just say hi to everybody. You just wave to everybody. And I tried it again this week. And it's still about one out of every 20 people, when you say hi to them, will say hi back to you. Around here, everybody does. But you don't have to let that define. Well, people are just rude here, so I'm going to be rude too. I refuse to let that define me. I'm still going to be polite. I'm even going to hold the door open for people, even though I've been chewed out for holding the door open for people, especially women. Don't you hold the door? What do you think, I am crippled? No, you're just a lady, and I'm a gentleman. You can be polite. You don't have to let the spirit of our day define you. Caleb had another spirit. Don't let that spirit define the spirit of our day, that spirit of rebellion, that spirit of anger and bitterness define you today. Caleb had another spirit. And then this is really what I want to focus on. If you jump ahead to Joshua chapter number 14, go to Numbers 14 to Joshua chapter number 14. And this is what I think of primarily when I think of Caleb. And I'm just going to say it this. Caleb lived on the mountain. Caleb lived on the mountain. Originally I wrote Caleb lived for the mountain, but Caleb lived on the mountain spiritually. He lived on the mountain. And he wanted to be up there physically, but he lived on the mountain. We're talking about on Wednesday night at our bulletin board over there, walking on the high road to the mountaintop, going through the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus preached to his disciples. But Caleb lived on the mountain. Now, this is many years later. You're going to see exactly how many years since we're introduced to Caleb. Many years later, he still had a great attitude. By the way, that says a lot right there. And you ought to have a great attitude no matter what, where you are in life, no matter what life throws at you, no matter how difficult your life is. You ought to have a good attitude no matter what. Don't let the spirit of our day define your spirit. He outlived, of course, his peers. God said the judgment, all of his peers are going to die in the wilderness. Moses and Aaron are going to die. The only one that lived as long as him that was his peer was Joshua. He went to Canaan with Joshua, went to the promised land with Joshua. And Caleb lived on the mountaintop spiritually. And I want you to see some things here. Before we even get to Joshua chapter number 14, I'll give you a letter A under Caleb lived on the mountaintop. Caleb stood beside Joshua. All those years, Caleb and Joshua were inseparable. They were side by side whenever you see them. He had no problem serving under Joshua. Joshua was the leader. Caleb didn't say, well, you know, I was the other spy. I deserve to be the leader. God chose Joshua to replace Moses. Caleb could have said, you know, I deserve it just as much as Joshua. But he was happy just to serve under Joshua. He was fine with that. He stood beside Joshua. He crossed the Jordan with Joshua. He was with Joshua when the two spies Joshua learned from Moses' earlier experience. Instead of sending 12 spies and 10 of them come back with an evil, let's just send 2 spies and make sure they're good ones. And make sure they're going to come back with a good report. He was with Joshua when the walls of Jericho came down. You remember the story. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. Jericho. That could be a favorite tonight too. And he was there. He was there when Achan sinned. He was there when Ai was eventually defeated. He was there when Joshua led the army to defeat the Amorites, when he called the sun to stand still. You know, I've tried that a few times. I'm not as spiritual as Joshua. God, I need a few more hours of the day. Could you just stop the sun for a couple hours? Never works for me, but it worked for Joshua in the heat of the battle. And Caleb was there. He was alongside Joshua when he defeated the Amalekites, the Canaanites, the Midianites, the Jebusites, the Moabites, the Barathonites, Kenites, the Hormalites, the Perizzites, and all the other mites that he defeated. He was there alongside of them. He was there when he conquered the land. He was there when he divided the land for an inheritance. Joshua was fine just serving underneath this great man of God, who was in all practical purposes his peer. Yet he was fine just serving. And by the way, you'd be fine. You'd learn to live on the mountaintop to know the joy of the Lord if you just are fine in the place that God put you. Not desiring to be, boy, I wish I was there. I wish I could live over there. I wish I could do that. You're going to make a mess of yourself. You better have the spirit of Joshua and just be content where God has placed you. Joshua was content. He stood beside, Caleb was content. He stood beside Joshua. And the second thing I see, that he lived on the mountaintop, he was still, after all these years, still trusting God. After all these years, how many years was it? Well, let's read in Joshua chapter 14, beginning in verse number 6. In fact, let's just stop and start in verse number 7, because I'm not sure if I can pronounce those names right. In verse number 7, 40 years old was I, Caleb speaking, when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again that it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. That's a good testimony there, isn't it? I trusted in God when I was 40 years old, when I was just a young whippersnapper. Amen? 40 years old. Boy, he's still a kid when he's 40 years old. Amen? Oh, he's still a kid. And Moses swear on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thine children's forever. Because, there it is again, thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. This is Moses' words to him. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. By the way, God didn't have to keep me alive, but he did. God doesn't have to keep you alive till tomorrow. Well, you ought to be thankful when he does. The Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. How would we say that number today? 85 years old. And he's still trusting God. 45 years later, he's still doing right. Yeah, I got some inspiration of this. I'm still young, right? You're going to get a good grade tomorrow. I'm 60 years old. I don't look it, do I? Thank you very much. I certainly don't act it. I've been telling the Lord for a while, Lord, just give me 20 more years and I'll be happy. But I was inspired. God, give me 25 more years. I want to meet up with Caleb. I want to be the Caleb. And I just don't want to just take up space for those years. I want to be doing something for God. And more than anything, I want to stay faithful to God. I don't want to disgrace, we mentioned this morning, King Hezekiah. that he prayed for 15 more years and God answered his prayer and gave him 15 more years, he would have been better off if God didn't give him those 15 years. And I said, God, I'll serve you as long as you give me life and health and strength. I'll keep serving you. And as when I get to the place where I can't do anything for God, just take me home, all right? He's 85 years old. He's an old man, but he's still trusting God. He's asking for an inheritance, asking for the inheritance that God promised him 45 years ago. He said, this is the place. I remember coming here when I was just a kid of 40 years old. I remember seeing this place. This is the place that God promised for me and my children. And I've been faithful to the Lord, and I'm begging God to give me this mountain. And he was still strong in the Lord. And I like that. He said in verse number 11, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. I'm as strong at 85 years old as I was when I was 40 years old. Now, teenagers, don't get any idea. I can still whoop any one of you. Huh? Just one at a time, though. All right. Then give me a week to recover before the next one lines up, all right? But I can take you. I'm still able to go. I'll still go a couple of rounds with you. And I can beat anybody in a fair fight. As long as you fair fight, I ain't fighting fair. But how's that go, Rex? Something he says there. I haven't quite got that down. You'll be the only one fighting fair. But I'll beat you, all right? Joshua said, I'm just as strong now as I was back then. And I decided some years ago that I'm going to do all I can to keep this body going for the Lord. I don't really want to live to a ripe old age. I just want to live the days that I have in serving the Lord. This is the temple of God. Now, I didn't have much to work with, but what I got, I want to give to Him. And I want to serve Him to the best of my ability. And I want to learn to exercise and eat right and take care of this body. I went on a bike ride with my nephew yesterday, and he does these triathlons or whatever they are. And I said, man, you ride nice, and I'll keep up with you, all right? It wasn't any problem because his wife was coming along with. And she said, we got halfway through the ride. I think we went 32 miles or something. We got halfway through and said, I think I'm going to sell my bike as soon as this day's over with. But we made it through. We had a great time of fellowship and in the conversation afterward. My nephew, of course, he's my older sister's son. He said something about, you know, his mom and dad are retired, and a lot of my siblings are retiring, and he said, it's about time. And I said, I don't ever plan to retire. In fact, I've been thinking all week, I ain't going to retire. I want to re-enlist is what I want to do. So we've been training these boys in Baptist ministry training, and I've been going over some of the stuff that, to be quite honest, some of it I haven't looked at since Bible college. And I thought, well, I was a new Christian in Bible college. And sometimes I go back to college and thought, man, I wish I could go back and do that again. And I'm going through some of that stuff again. Boy, my fire is getting lit again. I'm ready to start all over. We're ready to jump in here with both feet and go like never before. I feel like I'm ready to start pastoring. I feel like I'm ready to do something for God now. And I'm still just a young pup. But I'm not thinking of retire. I'm thinking of re-enlisting. He knew. And by the way, he knew that it wasn't his strength to begin with. And look at verse number 12, the last verse, last part of the verse. It says, I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. You know, when he first went there when he was 40 years old, he wasn't depending on his strength and the people of God's ability. He was depending upon God to conquer them, the giants, the enemy in the promised land, that God said, this is the land that I've given for you in inheritance. He said, well, we can't do it, but God can do it. And now he's 85 years old and he's still singing that same song. I can't do it, but God can do it. And I'm going to trust God. It's not my strength. It's not my ability. If you ever get to the place where you think you can do it, God's going to have to knock you down a few notches. I can't do it on my own. And sometimes I think, and I, I've gone through some things as far as health and things, and my wife and I sometimes look at how can God's blessed us in so many ways, and I think the only thing we can attribute it to is the fact that we trust God and God's people are praying for us. But that makes a difference. I'm grateful for the blessings of God in our life. I know it's not my strength. Now, what I have, it takes a little while to get this old carcass going in the morning and stretching and bending and moving before I can go through the things that I need to do for the day. But God and praying, God, give me grace. I'm not sure we make it, but through God's strength, we can do all things through Him. He still was strong, not necessarily strong physically or his mental ability. He was strong physically and mentally because he was first strong in the Lord. A lot of folks get that backwards. We live in a world today that thinks education is the answer to everything. Well, if I go to school enough, I can learn this and I can do this. Let's God, I can do it. No, I can't do anything without God's help. I need Him. I need His strength. I need to be first and foremost strong spiritually. I need to make sure I'm right with God. I need to make sure I'm starting every day in God's Word, seeking Him in prayer. He was still strong in the Lord. Caleb lived for that mountain. See that mountain up there? We can take it. We can take it. I'm an old man, but I'm not talking about retirement. Somebody said, Caleb, you ought to be sitting in a rocking chair. You give me a spear, I'll go rock those giants up there. I'll take care of them. We'll knock them down. We'll get up there. I'm still strong in the Lord. And this is maybe the greatest blessing because I've watched so many lose this. At 85 years old, one other thing I see about Caleb, he lived in that mountain. He stood beside Joshua. He's still trusting God. He's still strong in the Lord. And he still had his testimony. He still had his testimony. I've watched many young people lose their testimony. Just throw it out the window. I've watched many old people lose their testimony. Lived all these years. And now they throw it all away. And to be quite honest with you, I pray every day, and I pray more fervently now than I did when I was young. And I prayed pretty fervently when I was young. God, don't let me lose my testimony. God, I don't want to dip the sails. I don't want to lower my standards. I don't want. And you know, it always amazed me when I was in Bible college, these guys that said, well, bless God, I've grown in grace, so I can throw out all the standards and convictions I used to have. No, you've not grown in grace, you've grown in carnality is what you've done. And reality is if I'm getting closer to God, I'm becoming more like Him, not more like the world. But that's the mentality of so many young smart aleck Bible college students that think they know everything. I want to grow close to the Lord, and I want to keep my testimony. I want to keep my purity, and I want to be what I was when God first saved me, and be growing more like God instead of like the world. And Joshua listened to the words of Caleb, and he said, I'm going to take that. God promised me that mountain 45 years ago when I was just a kid at 40 years old. Now I'm 85 years old. I'm ready to take that mountain. But there's giants up there, Caleb. It doesn't matter to me. I'm going up there. I'm trusting God. I'm going to go get them. And he still had that testimony, that trust, that belief in God. Look at verse number 13. And Joshua, all he could say, it says, Joshua blessed him. Well, God bless you, brother. Joshua is probably, man, I don't know about you, but I'm dependent on this walker, buddy. But God bless you. You go up and get him. You sick him, buddy. He still had that spirit. He still had that desire, that fire that he had when he was younger. And Joshua just said, well, God bless you. We'll turn you loose. Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. There it is. It's yours. You go take it. Now, when he said, it's yours, he didn't say, well, we'll raise up an army. We'll go conquer it for you. He said, no, it's yours. You got to go up there and conquer those giants. Well, bless God, I'm going to roll up my sleeves. We're going to go after him. He still had his testimony. And he still had, this is the best part, he still had the same spirit, the same attitude. In verse number 14, Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. He had a different spirit back in Numbers, chapter number 13. The spirit that he had that was different than everybody around him was that he wholly trusted the Lord. And now 45 years later, he still had that same spirit. He still wholly trusted the Lord. God could have done it back then if we would have let him. But the crowd overwhelmed us. We tried to convince. We did our best to try to persuade them to trust God, to live for God, to do right. But they wanted to do their own thing. And they did their own thing. God judged them. And now I've outlived all of them. And I'm still got that same spirit. I still believe God is able. And I'm still going to take that mountain that God promised me 45 years ago. I'm still trusting in God. He still had that same testimony he had when he was younger. You know, to me, one of the greatest compliments anybody could ever give to me or anybody, and the greatest compliment I see in anybody that I've known for years is to say, they're still going the same direction they were when I first met them. There's nothing more encouraging to me. And I don't get back to what I call my home church. I've been to this church longer than my home church, so this is really my home church. But the church that I was saved and brought up under, when I go back there, there's nothing more encouraging than to see the people. I've been here 29 years, almost 30 years, and I go back there, and a lot of the folks have gone to heaven, but a lot of them are still there, still living for God, still serving God, still in the same ministry. One brother was in the bus ministry when I left. He's still in the bus ministry. He's an old man, and he's still going and still faithfully serving the Lord. That's just a blessing to see someone that still has that same heart for God and still wanting to do right. It's almost an impossible thing to see somebody 5 years after they started in ministry still going at it. Are you with me? Young people, God led me to do this. I believe this is God's will. And a couple of years later, I believe this is God's will, going a completely different direction. Well, we love this church. Well, we just got to find a different church. And, we love this. Well, we got to find a different ministry. I want my testimony to stay the same. If it was right back then, it's right now. Are you with me? If it was right when I was 19 years old and I got saved, it's still right today. And I want to be going the same way and still have the same spirit, still have the same testimony. And Caleb lived on that mountaintop. He wasn't going to let anything take him down from that place where he was walking with God. He stood beside Joshua. He was happy to serve along Joshua. And by the way, Joshua had that spirit too. The reason Moses chose Joshua to replace him is because Joshua was Moses' minister. He was always there for him. He was always doing whatever Moses wanted him to do. And when it came time for Moses to step into heaven, God said, okay, Joshua, it's your turn now. And Caleb was in the shadow, still following, still getting in his place where God wanted him to be. And he was faithfully serving beside Joshua and still trusting God, still strong in the Lord. And he still had his testimony until his dying day. And, well, I just want to keep going for God until God says, okay, it's over. It's time to go. In fact, I'm still praying that God just takes us all at one time in the rapture. And I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but either way, when God takes us, I want to still be faithful. And Jesus even asked, when the Son of Man comes again, will he find anyone still faithful? Every time I read that, I say, I want to be faithful, God. Count me in as one of the faithful. I'm going to keep going the same direction that I started down a long time ago because God showed me from this book that this is the way. Walk ye therein. And until I see something that's going to change, I'm going to keep going that direction. And by the way, God's not giving any new books out. God's book is still true. God's truth is still true. And some folks are coming up. I've watched all kinds of silly fads come and go in Christianity, and anymore when a new one comes up, I just chuckle. Evangelist has to deal with it going from church to church and everything. And you're not sure what new fad the preacher's following this time. And we're just following the same old book, still doing the same thing, and still trusting in God. We're not looking for the new popular. We're not looking for popular opinion and changing our doctrine because of the times and all those. Just still doing the same thing. Caleb lived on the mountain. I serve God of the mountaintop spiritually. I want to stay on that mountaintop. I'm going to ask.